A lot of times God gives you kind of an idea of what something you can put, you can hang your hat on.
Yeah.
Just don't leave it there, because so any case, but we thought it's probably impossible because we've got a lot of commitments here with our other our daughter, who's and the two kids, the oldest grandsons. And then that Monday she came and said, Nathan, our son, who had a home, he was going to go sell that home, buy another one. So he's asked us, we would like to buy that home, and we just don't know if that would be okay with you guys. We thought, the confirmation. So we said, yeah, that we think we're supposed to move to, we didn't think we were moving to Ventura then. Remember, we thought it would be a little ways away. So we, because Cammie was taking care of her dad, and it was like a 5-6 days a week medical appointments back and forth and all that. So when we kind of said, okay, we're going to go, but we don't know where we're going to go, Cammie said, and I thought, well, that's a great idea. We'll go live with her dad in Leisure Village. And because then that way she can commute and get him here and there and everywhere. And it was beautiful. I mean, I've never felt the contentment of just settling into a new place. 5 weeks into being there, it became apparent to the family that they needed to sell that house and move him into more assisted living. So from the day we heard time to sell your house, it was 7 weeks till we had moved out. Now, after we've moved out and got settled, we have in 5 weeks it's time to leave, and so we're homeless, in a sense, right? You know, So at that time, and I felt this from the Lord for you guys, because when I was meditating on this, and, you know, now's the time to dream. Where do you want to be? What would you like to do? So I knew we couldn't buy a house. And the housing market was, you know, doing all it's been doing. So I said, well, we got to rent. I said, okay, if I'm going to rent an apartment or a house, I'm going to rent, where would I like to be? And I thought, the beach. And along the promenade, between the pier and the fairgrounds, and there is an apartment complex right there, right 100 feet from our front door. We can walk out to where we surf. So I called them. Then met the property manager on the Monday. Cammie was taking care of her dad. Looked at the places, felt the Lord. She said, I don't need to see it. You just make a decision. Go ahead. We'll go for it. And there we were in 2 weeks. We were by Thanksgiving in this apartment. Now, the problem about the place we're living is, you know, like my son said, I don't know if you're ever going to want to leave, Dad. Because and by the time we got in there, before we moved in, the Lord said, I brought you here to know you. And I knew that God had arranged a series of steps to this place, not from living and... You know, sometimes I thought I was going to surf and I could, if I wrote a new book, I'd write, I've moved to the beach and stopped surfing. It's not the focus of our being because you're still working. But it was about being known. And over these last 4 years, I've been just, without being where we are, without God having orchestrated what happened, just in connecting us from things we would have felt forever obligated to do, we would not be able to yield to the coming of the Lord as he keeps coming every day. And I believe that's what God's going to do for us. I believe there's something that we're going to encounter that we could not encounter. So I was asking the Lord, and we're listening. So please, everybody, praise the Lord for what he's going to do. It's going to be better than what we have. It's going to be greater. Every time we've ever moved as a church or as a family, it's been to something better, unique, and perfect for the place we're supposed to be. Now, here's the key. If God had said to me, time to sell your house, and then go rent an apartment at the beach, my natural thinking would have said, get behind me, Satan. That makes no financial sense. You don't sell what your equity and your property and go put yourself in liability and rent an apartment. So he knew that wouldn't work. So he gave me a thought. Time to sell your house. And then I thought, oh, this means that. Or maybe it will be this. Or maybe it'll be that. And I think what we have, Blessed Jubilee, Brian, Veda, Diana, all the staff, this transition has been powerfully important, but probably God's thought the job got done quicker than he might have suspected, and so now we get to go to the destiny. When we had to leave our house, we had to get rid of 2,000 plus square feet of property, material, everything. We had been in our house for 35 years. And we were going to move not to an apartment, but into a bedroom up at, you know, shared house at Leisure Village. So we started getting rid of everything. We unloaded 90% of all our belongings and all our furniture, started giving it to the children, started giving away, had a lot of fun, letting go, letting go, letting go. So guess what? The second move was really easy. So the future is going to be easy compared to the past that we've just walked through. And the future is going to be what God has chosen for us. Now, I think we are in a place of listening because, you know, if I know anything about the Lord, everything in the earth is changing rapidly. There's new design. We could be being changed into a new place. We could have someone right now preparing to give us a piece of property or a ranch. We could be having a door open to somebody reach out and say, I need your help. Would you be a part of this? We could be in a reformation of thought. And who are we? How are we? God has done such a renewal in our midst already. Such a renewal. I can't believe it. Brian and Diana leading out and all of the staff and all of you, we've just kind of like, there's a whole revitalization. I know that something really wonderful. So I'm listening and the Lord's not yet speaking to me. I think what you said to you, Brian, is absolutely from the Spirit. It is so because he is the shepherd. And he's giving you the lead shepherd job. And so he's promising you that he's going to open the door. You're going to go out. You're going to open the new door to go in. And Veda, to just step into that kind of, yes, that's God can do that. And Diana, just, you know, the praise and declaring. And our staff that's, you know, gone through. They unloaded probably 98% of everything we have for weeks and weeks. And it's all labor. There's a profit. So there's a purpose. Rosie has just, you know, she had to give up her entire kitchen and staffing and yet she put it all, most of it in her garage. Any case, let's come join us in this journey. Come raise your praise. Raise your praise and thank, and we know this. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I had been asked before all of this knowledge passed into our hearing or any of our hearing, okay, you're going to minister? Give me a title. So the secret place. So before this last week or two ago, then I said, Jesus is our rest. Jesus is the rest. And that was kind of to pull out of what I've been practicing and learning. Because when we went on our sabbatical, the first thing we did was, first thing I heard the Lord say is in returning and rest is salvation, your salvation. And in quietness and confidence will be your strength. So I knew, oh, so you really are after some rest, ceasing from my labor, entering into your rest. Come, you are weary and heavy laden. Let me take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your soul from my, I'm a lowly and gentle. So knowing that, I was going, oh, this is a disengagement from all the things I could think about doing, and to start listening and being quiet. And in the middle of it, we didn't get a sabbatical from babysitting. That would have been a vacation. That would have been like probably fed my flesh all way too much. So it's very been wonderful, but yet just disengaging from walking out week to week, day to day, thinking outward, going quiet. It's like you guys get to have a chance. You've served the Lord and done it well, and now you're preparing for a new season, but you don't know what that season is. But you can't know the season unless you unload the old. And it says letting go before you can pick up. And we're all in that. Every one of us in this room. You wouldn't be here if you were not walking out saying, God's doing something new, and I'm traveling into the new in this, you know, however this is happening. So what I noted, the Lord began to speak again and again, more and more, about my internal life in Jesus, and that my life is in Christ, and that there is an unlimited ability in Christ to be in Christ in everything and anything. And all of the teachings of the Scripture and of Jesus were not based around external practices, but internal dwelling, habiting. So I had this, I think we'd already planned to do a surf camp with all our grandkids and to take them to the fair, since we just lived next to the fair. And so we had all 8 kids and in and out and packing surfboards. And there was like times I was going, Lord, I don't know if this could possibly be a Sabbath. I mean, I love the water, love the surf, but all the other stuff is just schlepping. Once a board boy, always a board boy. And the Lord it said, and it began to grow, and I just want to bring us into this. He said, submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Humble yourself, draw near, and he'll draw near to you. And I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, I want every circumstance that's coming against me right now, I resist you. Leave and let me go. And I come to God to have the circumstances that I really want and you want for me. Nothing. I didn't even pray that prayer. I knew what he was talking about. He said, you submit to me. Come into my joy. Come into my peace. Come into my hope. Dwell in my presence. Be it. You don't need to fix the thing. But in the thing, whatever the thing you're in, submit to me. Whatever you're in, submit to me. Don't try to fix the thing, change the thing, rearrange the thing, or reorganize it. Just submit to me. And while you're submitting to me, resist the devil. Because he'll take advantage of your circumstance to paint an untrue picture of your place in me. And he will cause you to become whatever, discouraged, sullied, in a bad attitude, and doubt. And doubt comes from what you see. And once you see it, it starts dividing your heart so that you can't have faith the way you had faith when you first heard the Lord speak. So this opportunity we're in is going to require just as much submitting to God, resisting the devil, and drawing near to God so he can draw near to us. St. Peter put it this way. He said, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And he went on and said, to God gives more grace, because he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So he says, now cast all your cares to me. So to humble yourself in God's sight is first to cast all your cares. So I'm practicing this. But now I'm practicing it around just this, you know, elementary things. Okay, I'm in the middle of this. I cast all the burden of it. I don't know how it's all going to work. And glory to God, I'm going to have a good attitude all day. But I can't have it because I don't have an attitude. My attitude's in my flesh. My flesh is never going to have a problem letting it be expressed. But I know I'm not supposed to express my flesh. But I can't suppress my flesh. But neither can I go out and yell at everybody because my flesh needs to yell. Lord, how do I come to you? Into you, into you, into you. And so the thing that I saw for me in this last, and I think we must be on a threshold over this, is just as much, you don't have to, there's nothing that we require except Jesus Christ. And you have him today you have Jesus Christ. Or better, let me be honest, he has you. He has us. We are in him. That song we were singing, come on in, come on in. Lord, I don't, maybe it's because I've been away for a while, but I kept hearing the Lord say, that's what I'm singing to the church. Come on in. And you're singing it to me, like I'm supposed to come in this room. I don't come into rooms. Yes, of course, I come into rooms with my anointing, my spirit, and I'm present to heal and all of the wonderful things. But I really have done all the work so you can come on in. Come on in. Come into the holy place with the blood, boldness of the blood. Come through my veil of my flesh. Come, let me be your high priest. So over this 4 weeks, 5 weeks, all of August, the Lord has been just dealing with me about, and Cammie, just let go. Quit trying to define where you are by where you are. Define where you are by where who I am and what I'm doing. And enjoy me. Enjoy me. Enjoy me. Rejoice with me. Rejoice and be. And it was so funny because so I said, okay, the rest is Jesus. The rest is Jesus. Jesus is our rest. There is nothing. Today is the day of our victory in Jesus Christ. Not a change of circumstance. And I started meditating. I thought, oh, of all my 49 years, it'll be in October, of following you, Lord. How much have I wasted fighting against things, circumstances, situations, peoples, trying to control? How much fear ruled my prayer versus delight? And it's been amazing to go, well, boy, if I'd only known this. He said, but you can't know what you know now until you knew what you knew then. It's a progression. I can't bring you all the way from here to there without it just being something you have to kind of just follow me. Then you often have times and you go, oh, I wish I wouldn't have. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like the reading we have in Reese Howell, if you have a chance to read it in 32, when the Holy Spirit came to that school, they were already a devoted people. But what he started to say was, I'm going to deal with self, because it's not sin that I'm concerned about, because that's already being overtly dealt with. It's self. I'm going to have my way. And we've said, so I thought, wow, this is incredible that you're doing a new thing. A new thing. Jesus is the new thing. So I'll share how I do it right now, and I want to lead us in a prayer and practice it. Jesus, everything God the Father did is based on he sent Jesus to the earth, and we received him as being sent by the Father. So everything has been provided for and dealt with and resolved in Jesus Christ. And name whatever it is you're in conflict with. Whoever you're in conflict with, whatever is struggling against you, it's already been resolved in Jesus Christ. Now the devil, knowing that, decided, I've been defeated, I have no resolve, the power of death has been taken from me, I have been made someone who cannot control any outcome that God doesn't choose for it to go a different direction. Sovereignty is ruling over all of the conflicts that I've got to do something because I'll never be able to rule now. I took away all my props. He said, well, first thing to do is turn everyone's attention away from Jesus Christ. May he only be the door into salvation, then the rest is up to you. May he be someone you can get help from, but may he not be known as the one who resolved everything, the Lord of all, the King. May his name that have less effect in our life, and may our circumstances be managed more by the way we think things should be. May you focus on the external, not the internal. And I think he's done a really cool job. I mean, not a cool job at all, awful job, but he's been effective. Been effective. And so every time circumstances come, they are to drag us out of fellowship with Jesus and trust and confidence in what he's about to do. And the doubt comes because we disengage or we're forced to disengage to deal with the doubt. But you don't have to deal with doubt if you return to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to come and be with you. There's only two things that I think that for me, I couldn't wait every day to get in the Bible. I couldn't wait to be in the scriptures with the Lord, the ones we're reading together. And I was impacted. Every time you're reading through the Bible, you're always impacted. I think, no wonder I had so little faith for so long. I quit reading the Bible. I quit submitting myself to the entirety of the conversation. I couldn't hear any of those special words. This week on the sixth, chapter six, Amos 6, I was really impacted. I was impacted because it just lists all of the attitude of Israel at that time, right before their captivity, of arrogance and confidence, of luxury, of fun. You know, they were just, and all the ways in which they would not respond to God in his heart. And he kept saying, return, return to me, return to me. And there's a little phrase that said, and you did not mourn with Joseph in his troubles. And so I went back to Joseph and the story of Joseph. But then God just said to me, I need to care for Israel in a greater measure than I have been caring. And I felt all of a sudden in these thoughts. And again, a lot of times thoughts are to direct us. They're not correct. They're just directors. You know, left and right is different depending on which way you're facing. So I thought, this Sunday is the 7th, September 7th, and that's the third year anniversary of the war. And I realized over the week that, no, it isn't this Sunday the 7th, it's next October the 7th, and it's the second year anniversary of the war. Now, what I've learned about the Lord is that when he interjects his truth, I make assumptions very quickly. And the assumptions can be right, they can be wrong, but they just are. And then, but yet if he came in and it caused a response, that's because he came in. And I need to give place to that. So out of that, the Lord, I found it this morning. I thought, well, I think one of the things I have to hold Israel in a deeper place of intercession to care for the suffering of the land and to not reject because of the, you know, the lies and the loudness of the conflict that everybody, just to hold my place, to feel for the hostages, to feel for the nation, to feel for my Jewish brethren around the world that are being, you know, as anti-Semitism has risen again and now become popular and not even questioned. So what I believe that is happening for me is there's so much that God has accomplished in Jesus Christ. And we neglected it. We've neglected this great salvation because we've been disconnected from the personal relationship that he requires for us to walk in his light, to listen to his voice, to sit in his word. Today in Amos 8, it talks about in the last days there will be a famine. But the famine will not be of food or bread or of water, but it'll be of the word of God. We read that today. And they'll be running all over the place to try to get the word of God. And that's what's happening today. But because the place of submission to the word hasn't been upheld, we don't have the capacity to see. I look at what God's doing and I see him in charge of the whole thing. And the opportunity for each of us right now to just say, Lord, I've got an assignment. I must get connected in you. I must abide in Jesus Christ. I must have your word abide in me. I must abide in your word and so that I can know the truth and the truth make me free. Take it from me, 49 years, and I gave my life so hard and fast to God, and I made so many vows, make sure none of the things that happened to me would I ever do or have happened to those I love. And I blew it. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. So now I'm in this, well, the rest of my life, I'd like you to be pleased. I'd like you to have your way. I don't really care where you put me, what you do. Most of the time. Yesterday, I was already about to get in an attitude with some more grandkids. But I'm learning. Go, you know, because here's the truth. He'll say to me, if I already resolved everything in my resurrection, if I am in a glorified place as your high priest, if that place where I reign is where you are and sit, then why do you care what you're doing during the day? Be in me. Take me into where you are. Accept me into where you are. Let me. I want to you to submit to me in the middle of where you are so that I can be Lord in that where you are. And I want you to resist the devil wherever you are, because whatever you are is trying to activate the devil in you. I want you to come and get low and humble, because I want to give you more grace. I don't want you to think you deserve more, because you don't deserve more. But I will give you grace. And so this moment, so I had this message before I've heard and before we heard today, and I'm sorry that you got to have whiplash. And you know, we all have on that. But what about the opportunity to just say, let's go with Jesus. Let's believe Jesus. Let's say, Jesus, what are you doing? And again, it could be like he's done for us in the past, give us a better place, a better opportunity, do something incredible. I know that's how he's always been. I know it will be that. But is it a place or is it a reformation? I don't know. I just know he's present. And I know one thing he's been saying, I'm in this. I'm in you. And I am leading. I'm going to take the charge. And I can feel God on Pastor Brian. I can feel the shepherd on him, a better shepherd than I could be at this point in my life. Because my assignments, I think, and sometimes I think more of a secret life or a hidden life to find him, be with him for his assignments. I don't know. That's not my call. We're here together. We're always going to be a family. There's one church. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one hope of our calling. All of us. All of us are called into one hope. We say, well, what is that hope? Paul said it in Romans. He said, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God's doing. So when you pray, he will take over the prayer if you give him time and opportunity. And you know that everything that you're in will be turned to good because you love God and you're called according to his purpose. And you have to know that he foreknew you before time began. And he foreknew you and predestined you, set the boundaries of life before you began to come, before you came out of the womb. And he predestined you to be conformed into the likeness of his son, to the image of his son, so that his son, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, he called. And that's when we got involved. We heard the call. We heard to come, follow me. I am the Savior. I am the Lord. And then whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, oh, I pray God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of our understanding would be know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Well, if you're self-centric, you think, yeah, do that for me. And later, I've discovered, no, he's doing it for himself. It says that I would know, we would know, what is the hope of his calling us, sons with purpose. And that we would know what is exceeding glory of the inheritance, his inheritance in us. So it's a journey. You're all in it. I know I may be speaking a little ahead of some of you, and I may be behind you, and now you're one glad I'm finally catching up. But we're all going the same place. The destiny of what's happening is a convergence into Christ-likeness. And Christ may not be what you want to be like, but you have no choice if you've been born into the family. He's going to have all of us into perfection, all of us into the glorification, all of us into the thing that God, Jesus did. So years ago, he said to me in Ephesians 1 again, here is the mystery of my will, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he, Father, might gather into one, all in Christ. So I thought at the time, I was going through a lot of conflicts. You're always in conflict for something. Humanity is in conflict. I said, Lord, I just yielded my life to you, to the outcome of the future. I want to be summed up in you. And so today I've said to the Father, Father, I want you to have your inheritance, what you have come to do. I want your family to grow up and be mature. I want us to all look like Jesus, think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, love like Jesus, live like Jesus, rejoice like Jesus, have praise. I want you to express yourself and have full access to us. And it's what the Father dreams of. And you and I are limited by what we can do to get there. In fact, if we try to get there on our own, we'll fail and fail and fail and fail. But if we say, Lord, have your way, I give my place to you, I want you to accomplish what you're doing, then many times it's like we're just amazed at what Jesus starts to do. So I want to just lead us in a prayer, simple prayer. If you'll follow with me in your heart, first and foremost, you and I have all accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is that true? Just raise your hand if you didn't. Wave and make sure. I'm in. Okay. I'm in. We're in. Father, we just come inside of Christ on purpose. We return to you. We turn out of the circumstances, out of the conflict, out of the fear, out of the doubt, out of the, oh no, and what will this mean, and how will this affect me? And we return into you, Lord Jesus, the one you sent. Father, the one you are sent to bless us in his resurrection by turning every one of us away from our iniquity. Wherever we are in conflict, because we are the conflict, we ask you to come take over. And if we have to learn disciplines of resting when it's feel like it's time to be striving, praising when we feel like it's time to be panicking, if it's to learn to submit to you in the midst of what it is we're doing and to resist the devil there and not let him take advantage in our soul and our mind or in our attitude, we can't do any of it, but you're doing all of it. And see yourself step into Christ because you believe it is where we are. It's a biblical doctrine most established in the Bible. This whole transformation has taken place because God put us in the Son. And the Son has been raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, and glorified. Now, release every care, concern, and conflict you're in the middle of. I know a lot of times I can't let go of things because I think if I worry over it long enough, I'll get an answer. But just, Father, take it all. Take our children, our grandchildren. Take our business, our nation. Take Israel. Bring about the work that you want to do, that only you can do. But we release our hands on it, and we come and we say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the answer. He is the means. He is everything. And with your own lips, melt. Just take a moment. We're going to have communion. If I was designing God's protocol to make a victorious people, I wouldn't have followed Jesus' example. I would have made the communion happen at Pentecost, not in the face of death. But I'm not the one in charge. And all grace comes through humility and submission and the willingness to trust and give back to God. So Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and that he was going back to God, and all things had been given to him, made the covenant. Now we who are born again have come from God, are returning to God, and all things have been given to us. So we can come and say, Lord, have your way. Lord, we thank you for how sovereign you are, how in the midst of everything you are, and the chance of transformation right now is far greater than even it was last weekend. Because change opens the door for new thoughts, new ways, new believing, new breakthroughs, new miracles. So in the name of our Lord, we thank you that on the night of your betrayal, when you were knew where you were going and had to believe Father would raise you from the dead, you had to believe Father would raise you from the dead, no assurance from a natural point. As a man, you submitted to a Father. So we too recognize that we are out of control of things that are happening, but you are the resurrection and the life. You are our resurrection and our life. So Lord, in this broken moment, this conglomerated time, whether it's concerning our future, where we worship, how we worship, or whether it's something that's just in deep in our own souls that are, we have to get resolution, it seems, or we'll never live. We bring it all to you, and we yield back to you. We say your body was broken. You died so that we could live. So, Lord, we accept that you accepted death, that through death you could destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil. So, Lord, we accept your death and are conformed there so that we might attain to your resurrection. Let's go ahead and eat together. Now, if you get the cup ready, Lord, we thank you that your blood was spilt on purpose by lawless people, but by a predetermined plan of God, that through the atonement of your blood, we would be forgiven forever sin. That you were put on that cross for our sins, and you were raised from the dead for our justification. So, Lord, though we are looking at death in many ways, we believe for resurrection. We willingly trust you in this moment. We trust you in everything. We choose that this is our charge by heaven, to trust in a grander and greater way. But if you can do it, then we can do it in you. Because we can do all things through you, Christ, who dwells in us. So, Lord, we receive remission of our sins. We remit all sins against us. We release everything again. Again, here we are again. We let go. And now we ask you to take over. We have expectancy. We have hope. We know that something better is ahead of us in every situation regarding us, that you are working all things together for good according to your plan, your purpose, your Son. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Just worship for a moment while we collect this.
All I see, I'm blessed to rest.
Come on, come on, every one of us, let's do it. I'm called here.
Jesus,
you are. Everything, everything we need is in Jesus, the knowledge of Him, what God has done. Yes, Lord. Without Jesus, we can do nothing, but with Him, everything, everything, our destiny, our calling, our future, our sonship.
Your face is all I see.
Yes, I do.
I'm resting to rest in you.
Why don't we all stand together? I'm going to do a prophetic act. Take us a second, but I guarantee if you step in, you'll have to hold it. And if we practice the very presence of the Lord in the scripture of who Christ is, we'll not only hold it, we'll enter into the new realm. I press in to rest. I strive to enter into your rest. It's an intentional stepping over a threshold. The threshold is this, that in Christ I am complete. In Christ all things have been resolved before I was born. In Christ I have whatever I have need of. He is the sufficiency. That Father God said, I love humanity. And I will bring a people out of humanity to myself, and called out Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and raised up a nation, and then prophesied throughout the journey of Israel, particularly to Abraham and to David, that of their seed would come a Messiah. And when he came, Jesus would say over and over and over, Father, these believe that you have sent me. Jesus is the totality of salvation, not a part of it. He is salvation. The totality of truth, not a piece of truth. He is the habitation that He prepared for us in Him. So if you'll just, in your heart, maybe let your foot take a step and go, I'm going to step into your rest right now in regard to all that concerns me and everything that's contending. Just step in there. I step in. I step into your rest. I step inside. I'm coming inside. I'm coming inside to be with you, to be with you, to see your glory, to dwell with you in this moment. I shut the door behind of all that the world says I must resolve and I come inside of you. Now just thank Him for a moment. Praise you, Lord. We're here together. Strengthen us with your might through your spirit in our inner man right now, so that Christ will dwell in our heart through faith. Being rooted and grounded in love, we can apprehend what all this love of Christ could be. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. We submit to you, God, here. We submit to the victory of Jesus. We accept the testimony you have of the Son. We resist the devil in every place that he would take our mind.